tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the blessings of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Who is Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh? As Muslims, we should all know that he is the Imam of millions of Shafi'is, alhamdulillah. His full name is Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And he was a great Imam and a great jurist of Islam. One of the four Imams, subhanallah. And he is also a reviver of Islam. He is actually the revival of the second century Hijri. The first revival of Islam in the first century was Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And the revival of the second century Hijri is none other than Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. There is a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud. And in this hadith, the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states that Inna Allah yaba'athu لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةِ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا Indeed, at the beginning of every century, Allah Azza wa Jal will send someone to this nation who will revive the religion. Subhanallah. As we all know, when the Prophets alayhim as-salam of the previous nations, when they used to pass away, Allah Azza wa Jal would send another Prophet to them. And they would then propagate the religion and teach people about the true message of Islam. For example, let's say, for example, the Bani Israel. Thousands of prophets were sent to this nation alone, the nation of Bani Israel. And however, as we all know, that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came as the seal of prophets, that no prophet will be sent after him. As a result, the way Islam and the religion will be revived in this ummah now is by Allah sending a reviver, a mujaddid, at the beginning of every Islamic century. Subhanallah. And this mujaddid revives Islam and Islamic practices. Together with that, when a generation departs and they are replaced by a new generation, they come with their own set of issues. People begin to adopt deviant beliefs and make them a part of Islamic teachings. Some attempt to promote false and distorted interpretations of the Holy Quran. Others endorse baseless and evil rituals in the name of religious knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal then sends a mujaddid, a reviver, who highlights these false beliefs, these false notions, these invalid ideologies and evil traditions, and makes clear the original and correct teachings of Islam. Hence, he is called a reviver, subhanallah. He revives the deen and takes it back to its original spirit, the true spirit upon which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba were, subhanallah. And that is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, subhanallah. So, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he played such a vital role as a great figure of Islam, subhanallah, a great scholar, a great jurist, a great faqih, a great muhaddith, Allahu Akbar, who had profound knowledge of the deen of Islam. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was the mujaddid and the reviver of the second century Hijri, subhanallah. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is a reviver, as we all know. And a reviver is he who revives the deen of people, and he is sent at the beginning of every 100 years, every century. Now, you and I know how many people born, how many people are born in a particular century. Billions of people are born in one century. And Mujaddid are one of you, subhanallah. So Mujaddid, we can say truly he is one of a billion, subhanallah, one in a billion people that gets to be chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal to be sent as a reviver to revive the deen. Many Mujaddids have been sent to this ummah. And one of them is this great Imam, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, he explains that the revival of the first century was Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and the Mujaddid of the second century is Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. As we know, the name of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is Muhammad bin Idris, and he was born in the year 150 Hijri. Scholars also explain how he was born on the day that the foremost Imam and the jurist master, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, passed away. He was tall, well-mannered, and liked by people. He treated people with compassion and was extremely righteous and practiced the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was born in Yemen, and his father passed away when he was only 2 years old. His mother then took him to Makkah Mukarramah, where he grew up and acquired Islamic knowledge. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal opened the doors of knowledge for him. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi worked hard and had a passion for knowledge. When he was just 15 years old, the Grand Mufti of Makkah, Muslim bin Khalid Zanji rahimahullah ta'ala, granted him permission to issue Islamic verdicts, subhanallah. One particularity about the nobility of the lineage of Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is that he is related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the forefathers of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidina Abd Manaf rahimahullah ta'ala, whose descendants include Imam Shafi. Imam Shafi is one of his descendants. And the Quraysh tribe had 4 branches. One branch was called Banu Hashim, the other was Banu Muttalib, then it was Banu Nawfal, and then it was Banu Abd Shams. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born into the Banu Hashim tribe. And this is the reason he is referred to as Hashimi, subhanallah. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is from the Banu Muttalib tribe and is thereby known as Muttalibi. However, Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, while he explains the genealogy, he says Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is Muttalibi, and due to this he possesses many excellences. Now here we get to know that there is no difference between being a Muttalibi and being a Hashimi, subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to as both Hashimi and Muttalibi, because according to this narration, the Banu Muttalibis have always helped Islam. They exhibit loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on every occasion. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, that innama banu hashimin wa banul muttalib shay'un wahid, that indeed banu hashim and banu muttalib are one. Imam Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi further adds that just as the forefathers of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi served Islam, he also did so to a monumental extent, subhanallah. So yes, this great Imam is related to the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being a Muttalibi, Allahu Akbar, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is known as both Hashimi and Muttalibi. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is included in the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we recite in Salah, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad, O Allah, send your mercy upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala is definitely included in this. Allahu Akbar. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Inna kulla sabi wa nasabin yanqati'u yawm al-qiyamati illa ma kana min nasabi wa sababi. Every blood and in-law relation will be severed on the Day of Judgment, except my blood and in-law relations. Subhanallah. And subhanallah, we get to realize the nobility of Imam Shafi's lineage. Subhanallah, he was from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore this is another reason that he has all our love and respect, alhamdulillah. Now, dear viewers, let's, as we are discussing the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should listen to the praises of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, we are going to listen to a beautiful kalam in the praise of the Habib al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thereafter, we shall be back and continue with our today's discussion. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Bakare khash gharanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Bakare khash gharanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Parishanam parishanam aghithni ya rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu mal ja ساز و سامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. شغاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا چارہ سازی کن. شغاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا چارہ سازی کن. مریض درد عصیانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. مریض درد عصیانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. اگر رانی اگر خانی غلام من تا سلطانی. اگر رانی اگر خانی غلام من تا سلطانی. دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. دیگر چیزیں
دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شولا میخی زد. گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شولا میخی زد. مدد اے آب حیوانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. مدد اے آب حیوانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزا سوزد. چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزاں سوزد. نریزد برگ ایمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. نریزد برگ ایمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
چمہ شرف اتنا انگیزد بلائے بے اماخی زد. چمہ شرف اتنا انگیزد بلائے بے اماخی زد. بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید. پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید. تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ.
پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ. پریشانم پریشانم رسول اللہ
گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا تہی داما مگر دانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگر دانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر شہاب ہر عزیز خانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب ہر عزیز خانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah. After listening to the beautiful kalam in the praise of that beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are back once again discussing our today's topic. And this great scholar of Islam, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, we are discussing his biography today. And may Allah azza wa jal forgive us without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. As we have learnt that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he will therefore be in the company of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of judgment, inshallah azza wa jal. The blessed lineage of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi will also remain intact and be of benefit to us that day. Alongside being a Qurayshi from the tribe of Quraysh, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali has many other virtues. One of them is that he is the scholar of the Quraysh. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "La tasubbu Quraishan," do not speak ill of the Quraysh. "Fa inna 'alimaha yamla'u al-ardha 'ilma," as a scholar from them will fill the land with knowledge. Subhanallah. The scholar of Quraysh who is mentioned in this hadith refers to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala once said that when someone asks me about a religious issue, I try to find an answer from Quran and hadith first. If I cannot find the answer, I search through the statements of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. This is because he is the scholar of Quraysh who filled the land with knowledge. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi describes that I fell asleep one night and my destiny awoke. As he fell asleep, his destiny awoke, and he says that I beheld the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my dream. He proceeded to ask, "Ya ghulam, man anta?" O son, which nation are you from? Mimman anta, which nation are you from? So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, I replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min rahtika ya Rasulullah, I am from amongst your servants. In a display of his unmatched kindness, he ordered for me to come closer to him. And I did so. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to place his blessed saliva in my mouth. Subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, go, may Allah grant you blessings. Subhanallah, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali, he mentions another enlightening dream in which he says, I dreamt that I was sitting in the mataf, meaning the tawaf area of Masjidul Haram. The fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, karamallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem, then graced me with his presence. I quickly stood up and welcomed and hugged him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu shook my hand and took off his ring, and he ordered me to wear it. He made me wear the ring. And after having this dream, I went to someone who could interpret dreams. I explained my dream and asked what it meant. And the person replied, you are honored to embrace Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is a sign that you are free from hellfire. He shook hands with you. This is a sign that you will be at peace on the day of judgment. And he made you wear his ring. This shows that just as the name of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is famous, your name will also be well known. Subhanallah. Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, he says that the dream of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali proved to be true. Not long after this dream, Imam Shafi rahimahullah became famous, and he went on to write religious books by means of which his name became known far and wide. Subhanallah. We as the devotees of the final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, Imam Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi rahimahullah holds a rank in terms of his knowledge, but in terms of actions, he is also highly ranked. He possessed some noble qualities. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali had a great passion for reciting the Holy Quran. Hujjatul Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he writes that Imam Shafi rahimahullah divided the night into three parts. One for religious knowledge, and one portion of the night for salah, and the third portion for rest. Sayyidina Rabi' rahimahullah, he explains that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali would recite the entire Quran every day. And in Ramadan, his passion for reciting Quran would increase even more. During the month, he would finish the Quran a total of 60 times during Nafl Salah. Subhanallah. So, two Quran recitation a day. If you divide 60 times the complete recitation of the Holy Quran by 30 days, you end up with two Quran recitations a day. Subhanallah. Let this sink for a moment, that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala was not an ordinary person. He was fully qualified mufti, and people would ask him for verdicts on Islamic issues. He would answer the questions posed to him and was a scholar of unmatched distinction. People would travel from far and wide to sit in his company and quench their thirst for Islamic knowledge. Despite his extremely busy schedule, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would take time out of his day to recite the Holy Quran. Now let's think about ourselves. How busy are we? We can't be as busy as Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. That can never be the case. And we always have this complaint, no, my days are too busy, you know, to accommodate anything. But here, subhanallah, one of the busiest imams, he would take out time every day to complete the recitation of the Holy Quran. And not just one surah or one juz of the Holy Quran, but the entire Quran, Allahu Akbar. Do we take out time to recite the Holy Quran? everyone here should truly think about this. I mean, we are in this together. The Quran is the word of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our Lord, who provides us with sustenance, takes care of us, and grants us countless bounties. Do we recite the sacred words of our Lord? When was the last time we recited the Holy Quran? All of our homes should have the copy of the Holy Quran. But when was the last time we took this holy and sacred book off the shelf? Yes. All of our homes, they have Quran, subhanallah. But it just becomes, you know, kept on the shelves. We look at it, we pass by it, we see it every day. But when was the last time we actually picked up the Holy Quran to look and read? Allahu Akbar. Take a moment to reflect. With great sadness and regret, it must be said that we have plenty of time to use our cell phones. We have time to spend on social media. We have time to earn the wealth of this world. And we instantly make time when it comes to travel and entertain ourselves. With great sadness, it must be said, this is the reality. When it comes to reciting the pure words of Allah Azza wa Jal, then days, weeks, so even months pass by, and we are unable to make time for it. Complaining that we cannot find time is one thing, when in fact we do not even remember to recite Quran at all. And we have not even included recitation of the Quran in our list of priorities. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran in abundance. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, it is mentioned that Sayyidina Hassan Karabisi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he relates that I was fortunate to spend many nights in the company of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He would spend a third of the night in Salah reciting 50 verses of the Holy Quran or 100 verses on occasion. If he recited a verse about mercy, he would make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking mercy for himself and all the other Muslims. When he recited a verse about punishment, he would seek refuge from it and make dua for the safety of all Muslims. Subhanallah. Look at his concern. Allahu Akbar. Because he is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the durood. And subhanallah, it befits him. Just as Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, if we can recall the time, Imam Hassan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that when Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved mother, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she would worship the entire night, and when she would raise her hand for dua, she would first make dua for the Muslim Ummah, Allahu Akbar. Then only she would ask anything for herself. And then when the son said, "Mommy, you asking dua for everyone else, you never asked anything for yourself," she told him to be patient. And then a very famous Arabic phrase she mentioned, "Al-awwalu jar, thumma ad-dar." First comes the neighbors, and then it is our turn. Subhanallah. So yes, it is, subhanallah, the pattern. And Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala seems to be following the same pattern, to have the concern for the Muslim Ummah at heart. And when he would make dua after reciting the verses of punishment to safeguard himself and other Muslims from the fire of hell and the punishment of hell, and when he would make dua for mercy, he would implore in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to have mercy upon him and to all the Muslims, subhanallah. What a beautiful facet of Imam Shafi's life. Not only did he make dua for himself, but also for every single Muslim. This was also the blessed practice of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions one of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam's du'as in the Holy Quran, and this du'a is رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. O Lord, forgive me and my parents and all the Muslims on the day when accountability will take place. We as devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should know dua is such an excellent form of worship. And a hadith explains, الدُعَى مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. The dua, prayer, supplication, is the essence of worship. Another benefit of making dua is that it is a free way of earning good deeds, as it does not require anyone to spend money, nor put in any strenuous work. You're just opening your lips to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to beg in the court of Allah azza wa jal. As it does not require one to spend any money, you don't have to take anything out of your pocket. It doesn't cost you anything. It only involves the focus of our heart and use of our tongue. In fact, dua can be made within the heart as well, without even uttering a single word. Allahu Akbar. Nowadays, people are found to be lazy or even slack during the time when dua is made. There are not many people who even make dua for themselves anymore. Those who offer salah and have a religious mindset usually make dua. Besides them, there are many who are facing difficulties such as illnesses or debts, and they do everything they can to solve the issues, but they do not make dua. Allahu Akbar. This is despite the fact a hadith explains how dua is the weapon of a believer. Subhanallah. As for the people who do make dua, they only pray for themselves and not for other Muslims. Not only should we make abundant dua for ourselves, but we must absolutely remember others as well. We must remember others as well. By means of this, we will acquire countless blessings, inshallah, azza wa jal. The father of Ala Hazrat Imam Hamza Khan alayhi rahmatu rahman, Hazrat Allama Maulana Naqi Ali Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he explains the etiquette of making dua. He says that the etiquette is when a person makes dua for himself, he should include all the people of Islam with him. And this means to pray for all Muslims, men and women. The revival of Islam, Ala Hazrat Imam Madraza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala ali explains this etiquette in further detail in its footnotes. And he says, the wisdom behind making dua for every Muslim is that if the seeker is not suitable to have his dua accepted, he will reach his goal for the sake of the Muslims at large. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The renowned tabi'i, Sayyidina Thabit Bunani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he reports that it was mentioned to us that whoever prayed for the good of Muslim men and women will pass by them on the day of judgment. When he does, a voice will announce that this is the person who made dua for your betterment in the world. The Muslims he prayed for will intercede for him and take him to paradise alongside them. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It is mentioned in a hadith that the salah in which dua is not made for Muslim men and women is defective. A person once made dua by saying, Allahumma aghfirli, O Allah, forgive me. The final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this and declared, if you had made this general, meaning if you had prayed for other Muslims as well, your dua would have been accepted. The final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that whosoever makes dua for the forgiveness of every Muslim man and woman, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him a good deed for every Muslim man and woman he prayed for. We Alhamdulillah, we got this simple principle given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look at how many, you know, millions and billions of virtues and good deeds we get to earn. Allahu Akbar. Do we know the current population, Muslim population around the globe right now? It stands around 2 billion people, 2.1 billion, somewhere around there. And if we made dua for forgiveness for each and every Muslim men and women, what would be the impact of it? For each Muslim man and woman, inshallah, Azza wa Jal will be granted a good deed. Allahu Akbar. Can we imagine the extent of it? Subhanallah, the magnitude of it. There have been billions of Muslims from the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam till today. Many, many, many more are still yet to come. So if we focus our attention towards this matter and make dua for the forgiveness of every Muslim, we hope to receive billions of good deeds by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And how long will this take? Nothing but a matter of seconds. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us forgiveness. And to all the Muslim men and women, Ameen, Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. How long did it take? Merely 5 seconds. We can recite this dua in every salah or even throughout the day. Allahumma ghafirli wa li kulli mu'minin wa mu'minah. O Allah, forgive every Muslim man and woman and forgive me. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to make abundance of du'as for ourselves and every other Muslims. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. When it comes to making du'a, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, as we have just learnt, that he had a unique and beautiful practice. He would go to the shrines of the awliya and make du'a. Regarding this, he once said, whenever I encounter a difficulty, I offer 2 units, 2 rakats of salah. Visit the shrine of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and make dua thereupon. By means of this, Allah Azza wa Jal removes my difficulty. Subhanallah. The 2nd century scholar and reviver of Islam, and he is the scholar of Quraysh, subhanallah, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala would go to the shrines of the awliya to have his difficulties resolved. He considered visiting their shrines to be a means of difficulties being alleviated and dua being accepted. Subhanallah. Another noble quality of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala was his immense generosity, as he would spend thousands upon thousands of his wealth on the poor. Sayyidina Humaydi rahimahullah ta'ala paints a picture of his generosity by mentioning the accounts of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala, that once Imam Shafi rahimahullah went to Yemen for a particular reason. And when he returned to Makkah Mukarrama, he had 10,000 dirhams. Dirham is gold coins. He had 10,000 gold coins with him. He set up a tent outside the city and gave his wealth away to whoever came to him. When he exited this tent, he had given away all 10,000 gold coins in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Look at the generosity of the great Imam. Allah, Allah. Not only his knowledge was great, but his generosity, subhanallah, being from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he inherited this quality from the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And look at how generous he was. Sayyidina Rabi' rahimahullah, he explains that when my marriage took place, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala ali asked me, what did you agree to give as dowry? And I answered, I agreed to give 30 gold coins, 30 dinars. And Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi then inquired, how much have you given? So he says, I replied by saying that I have only given 6 dinars. Hearing this, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi left. And after a short while, he sent me a bag which contained 24 dinars. This was the exact amount remaining that I needed to give as dowry. He gave this money even though he had not been asked to. Subhanallah. Look at this generous nature of the great Imam, Subhanallah. This is the generosity that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh displayed. How he inquired how much dowry was and how much Sayyidina Rabi had given after becoming aware of his situation. He had not simply, you know, offered words of comfort, but subhanallah, he paid the remaining amount. May Allah Azza wa Jal also grant us the ability to be generous in our hearts. If only the love of wealth and money was removed from our hearts, certainly our hearts are greedy for the wealth of this world. Our hearts sink when we have to take money out of our pockets. And we do not have the strength to give a large amount to the needy. If only this greed would end and we are open and our hearts open to spend with an open hand in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us such heart and remove greed from our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us endless sustenance from His treasures. And may He Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to be generous with the sustenance provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala once had a shirt made by a tailor who did not know who the great Imam was. Nor did he know of his high rank. So the tailor, as a joke, decided to make one of the sleeves tight and the other loose enough for someone's head to even fit through. So when he gave the shirt to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the Imam looked at it and said, "May Allah reward you. Tight sleeves are easier to roll up when performing wudu, and I can put a book in the loose sleeve." Subhanallah. He didn't complain, but he found a solution and he found a way to utilize the tight space and the loose space that was the mismatch sleeves that he had. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala was speaking to the tailor. An envoy arrived who had been sent by the Khalif of the time. So while he was having a conversation with the tailor, then the envoy of the Khalif came, and in his possession were 10,000 dirhams, and he presented this to the great Imam. Seeing this, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi told the envoy to give the tailor payment for making him clothes. Now the tailor became very curious as to who this man was. Who is this person to whom the Khalifa has sent all this wealth? He thought to himself. The tailor went to the envoy and asked, and he replied by explaining that this is Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Upon hearing this, the tailor kissed the Imam's feet and asked for forgiveness and began staying in the blessed company of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. You've just heard about the manners of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and this is a great lesson for us in this incident. The tailor deliberately made one sleeve tight and the other sleeves loose as to ridicule or as a joke. But look at the character and the manners of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He rahimahullah found positive points even in the situation, in this situation that was very negative, and made dua for the tailor. So we must always look for the bright side in life, inshallah azza wa jal. And this lesson we can learn from the life of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Such an act is very difficult to do today. If somebody does this to you, you are going to shower upon that person the gifts and money and so on? No, that's very unheard of. Being optimistic and searching for positives is a distant matter. People even search for negative points in a good situation, yes. There are some pessimistic people. Always negative, always sour about something. Our pious elders, who were true servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, managed to find positive things even in negative situations. Do we not remember the COVID waves that were hitting the world and took the world by storm? What happened? people were depressed. And it was within these times, yes, it was a tough situation. It was a terrible situation. It was catastrophic. It was a global pandemic. But each one of us responded to the situation differently. Some of us just sat at home, got depressed, had nothing better to do. And some of us utilized the same time in a proper way, in a positive way. They turned this negative situation into a positive one. Because you must have the appetite for it to begin with. And these are the accounts of our pious predecessors, which teach us these finer values of life. Subhanallah. Being optimistic. This was the time when many thousands of people went into depression. Thousands of people lost their jobs. Thousands of people lost their businesses. But it was also the time where thousands, they made it. They even earned profits. Thousands, they focused on their well-being and ate healthier. They never mind they were at home, but it gave them enough time to do exercise and keep fit. So different people reacted to the situation very differently. And here in the account of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, look at how he turned a negative situation into a very positive one. Can we do that? Do we have the appetite for it, inshallah, azza wa jalla? I hope so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Ameen. Bijahi nabiyil ameen. Sayyidina Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he reports that a man in Basra was taken to the gallows to be punished for adultery. The renowned saint Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahimahullah ta'ala, she walked by and she said that this is the tongue with which you recited La ilaha illallah. A man was about to be hanged as punishment for a major sin. But instead of mentioning his evil, Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya rahimahullah ta'ala looked for the goodness in him and mentioned it. If only we had a positive mindset and developed the habit of seeing good, hearing good, and speaking good. For an evil tongue is a reflection of an evil heart. So yes, our actions, our speech, our words, they are a reflection of our heart. And if foul words leave our mouths, our tongue, if negative things come out of our mouth, then it shows. You know, as we say into our daily lives, if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, then it is a chance that it is a duck. So yes, if you everything that you do, it amounts to that. And whenever you talk, you say negative. Whenever you look at something, you look at it from a negative point of view. Then how are you going to have a positive personality? How are we going to develop a positive mindset? If all our actions, they revolve around negative things, so inshallah, azza wa jalla, we should surround ourselves with positive vibes, with positive people, those who are optimistic, those who motivate you to do good. Instead of, you know, somebody can say Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi used to recite the entire Quran in a day. And in the month of Ramadan, subhanAllah, he would recite 2 complete Quran. So, as you must be feeling optimistic that Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala did, I must try, inshallah. So, right? One is this optimistic mindset. And then there's this mindset. Somebody will say, oh, you know what? It's really unrealistic. It's unrealistic for you to recite one whole Quran in a day. Don't even try. 2 different kinds of attitudes, positive and negative. And we need the positive attitude, inshallah azza wa jal. We need to follow into the footsteps of our great Imam, inshallah azza wa jal, reciting the Holy Quran. Whether it takes you 1 day or 2 days, the main aim should be, the main focus should be to recite the Holy Quran. There's no competition going on. And this is the positive mindset, inshallah. So I hope we have drawn some inspiration from the life of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and it really sticks with us and empowers us, encourages us to do more good, inshallah. So until Ameen, bijahin Nabil, Ameen. Until next time, I would urge you to keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.